Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing tonight, and we just appreciate how you are just speaking to us and really talking with the youth and giving us an idea of what you want us to do. And kind of being young, it's hard. It's hard to know what your will is for our life, but we pray, dear God, that you would continue to be with us and guide us tonight so we might have a better understanding of where you would have us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, Sister Stacy asked me to come speak and give a few words. And, you know, initially I was like, okay, let me figure out, you know, what the sermon's going to be and all that. But really, it just kind of dawned on me. And I think, you know, some of the young people, you'll be able to relate. All week you're in school and you get teach that, right? You go home, you get lectured at, do this, why didn't you do that? On Sabbath, you come and you get preached at, right? Preach to. I don't want to make it sound like it's bad because the sermons are good. Pastor Dawson brings a good word, amen? Give your pastor a round of applause. So, you know, tonight I just really wanted to just have a brief talk with you. If we can have a dialogue, is that all right? Can we talk? Because when I look at kind of what's going on, I mean, I'm 28 years old. I'm maybe a little bit older than most of you, but I've been where you are. And a lot of you, how many are 12, 13 right now? 13? 14, 15? 16? No? What about 10 or 11? 13? What about 9, 8? So everyone in here is pretty much between almost the ages of like, say it again? Okay, so pretty much 18, 8 through 16. I said 12. You weren't paying no attention, Cameron. It's all right. That's all right. That's all right. If you want to talk, we can talk. It's all about a conversation. So everyone in here is about 8 to 16, with the exception of one who is 18. And I've been where you all are, and I know how it is being this age and trying to figure out how to be Christian, but also how to be cool or how to be liked at school. I know it's a challenge. How many people want to be famous? How many people have? Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. What do you want to do? What do you want to do in the entertainment business? The whole nine yards. Why do you want to do that? Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. You. Be an actor. Why do you want to be an actor? So you want to put your big ham to a good use because your mother and father tell you that you have a lot of talent. Okay. Yes, Brianna. I can say it. Speak up. You want to be a dancer. What kind of dancer? Yeah, I heard that. Okay, she wants to be a dancer. Who else? Who else? Yes, sir. Singer. Why do you want to be an actor slash singer? Okay. Yes, my brother. An actor? Why do you want to be an actor? Mm-hmm. Okay. Cameron? Okay. Why do you want to be an actor and singer? So it seems like a lot of people want to be things because other people are kind of giving them instruction in a certain way. Okay. Jamila and this young brother. A comedian. Okay. Why do you want to be a comedian? You're funny. All right. Yes, young brother. Say it again. Because you express yourself. Yes, Cole. You want to be a piano player? All right. Not a drum player, but a piano player. You're both. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. A hunter. Ooh, what do you want to hunt? And a science teacher. All right. All right. Yes. A novelist and an animator. Why do you want to be a novelist and an animator? Be respectful. Am I missing anyone? Yes. for music. All right. It's yes, yes, my brother. Speak up. Say again. A great drummer. All right. And you want to be a great drummer, I'm assuming, because you already know how to drum very well. Amen. You were born with the gift and you're thankful for it and you want to keep using it. All right. All right. Yes. You want to be a lawyer. All right. All right. All right. All right. Yes, sir. A police officer. All right. To protect and to serve. Why do you want to be a police officer? Why? Because you can protect people. This is true. All right. All right. You got one more thing? You want to be a chef, too. All right. All right. If you've already spoken once, anybody else need any? Did I miss anyone who wanted to speak? Okay. Say it again. All right. The scripture, which I want to read again, ties directly into this question of what you want to be and why. Romans 12, 1 says this, 1 through 2, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, okay? It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're going to school, you're walking around in this life and place it before God as an offering. Bless you. Anything that you want to do, place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Don't just fit so well in with your boys or the girls you hang with at school that you fit in without even thinking about it. Remember, God has called us to be Christians, and if we're Christians and we follow Christ, it means we're going to be different. There's a tendency for us to want to fit in so bad that we even forget what God has called us to do. It says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that He wants from you and quickly respond to it. So the more that we put ourselves and what we want and our desires in front of God, God, if we listen to Him, will begin to tell us what it is He really wants from our lives. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Yes, give the word of God a round of applause. It's interesting that I work in the entertainment business, and the majority, about 80% of those who spoke today, said they wanted to be in entertainment in some form or fashion. I was just like you. When I was younger, I said, hey, wouldn't it be great to be on The Cosby Show? Anybody ever see The Cosby Show? You guys see the reruns, because obviously it's no longer on, but you've seen the reruns. Wouldn't it be great to be on TV and to be famous and to have everybody know who you are? That was my aspiration. But then I began to realize that, wait a second, I don't know if I can act. I don't know if I am cut out for this. But what would it be like to work for the people that pay these people to be on TV? What would it be like to actually be in a position to say yes or no to movies that get made or TV shows that get on the air? What would that be like? And so my aspiration was to get into entertainment. And so I was like, okay, you know, it would just be great just to be able to hang with the Puffies and to meet Will Smith and do all these great things. So my goal, I'm from the Bay Area. Anybody here have their roots in Oakland or San Francisco? Oaktown, yes, that's right. So I came to L.A. How many of you all live here? But I came to L.A. to get into entertainment because this is what I wanted to do. But I didn't quite understand what God was calling from my life. Cameron, whatever you're playing with, you need to put down. Because I need you to pay attention. And I'm only calling you out because what is said tonight is going to be helpful to all of us. So no one laugh at him. Don't get upset. Because if you're talking, I'm going to get on you too, all right? All right. But I came to L.A. because of the stars. Everybody sees these people on TV. They see them on the videos. It's like, oh, I want to be this. So I said, okay, but my initial reason for being in entertainment was a good one. I certainly wanted to make change, but I wasn't sure if this is what God wanted me to do. I know it's what I wanted to do. My first experience coming down here, my first experience was working for a management company. This management company managed Puffy. Anybody know P. Diddy? Anybody know Will Smith? Anybody know Babyface? Anybody know Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo? Yes. This was my first experience working in the entertainment business, was working for this company. And I'll never forget, there was this one opportunity where P. Diddy was performing, and I went where he was performing because I was working for the manager. And after the show, he had a mansion up in Beverly Hills, and we went to the mansion, and we're all sitting outside, and I am literally sitting this far away from the man you guys know as P. Diddy, and everybody's talking, and I'm like 19 years old. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But something really dawned on me. The more I began to work in entertainment, I'm 28, so I've been working in this business about 10 years. I've had the opportunity to have lunch with Usher. I've been to Will Smith's house. A few weeks ago, we had a meeting with Nelly, met with 3-6 Mafia after they won the Oscar. And what is interesting about all of this is I come to find that the very people that we all idolize and the very people that we all put on a pedestal, once you get a chance to sit with them, you realize that God is so far from their life that as a Christian, it scared me that this was the person I was aspiring to be. We've got to understand. Look, I understand that the music, everybody like listening to music. I know you like to, you know, snap your fingers and do your step, and you can do it all by yourself. I know you like to ride dirty. I know you like to do and listen to these things. I know you do. But here's what you must realize. When the music you listen to, the movies you watch, and the TV shows that you become addicted to, when these things in entertainment begin to affect the way you live your life, when you can't turn in your homework because you're too busy watching 106 in Park, when you can't finish your assignments because you're online downloading music and songs to put on your iPod, when you can't remember what songs you sing at church because you're too busy at school, y'all, am I saying something here? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but what is happening with the music that we're listening to is it is informing the way in which we live our lives. And the thing that I have learned, which I have to tell you all the truth, these people, whether it be Usher, whether it be Diddy, whether it be, Lil Jon, these people create this music. What did someone say? Who? Oh, yeah, what? These people create this music. Do you know why? To make money. The messages they put in the music, in terms of drinking, and sex, and money, and materialism, and worshiping yourself and not worshiping God, these messages are all because they feel that if they say these things, this is what will give them the most money. It was interesting. You all know 3-6 Mafia or the song, you know, it's hard? I'm not going to sing the rest. Right, y'all know the song. Right, okay. These guys, if you've seen them, they look as crazy as they come. And when we sat down with them and had this meeting, it dawned on me that these guys are regular people. But they recognize that they can say these sort of things, and these sort of things are what's going to make the money because we internalize them as being reality. You must realize, just as you're going to go see X-Men this week, some of you may have already seen it, just as you may have seen Mission Impossible, if you see Tom Cruise jump off a building in China, do you think you can jump off a building in China? Why? It's not true. So when you listen to these songs and they tell you to get love, you need to give your body. When you listen to these songs, they tell you the only way to have fun is to get into the club. When you listen to these songs and they tell you that it's okay to just be slizzing on some goose. In for those of you who don't know, that is drinking alcohol. When you listen to the songs and they tell you these things, the same ridiculousness that you look at Mission Impossible or X-Men with have the same ridiculousness with these songs. Don't let the songs dictate who you are. The very dreams that everyone put out here, I encourage you to follow your dream. But identify as you're following it what God wants for your life. The young drummer said, God has given me a talent. Everyone sees Cole play the drums and like, oh, Cole is great. The same talent Cole has, each one of you all have. Find out what it is and pray that God will continue to develop it. Here's the one thing, though. Where you want to go in life and what you want to be, if I told you right now that the music you listen to and the choices you make right now could determine whether you achieve that goal or if you don't, what would you do then? Would you start to think differently about the things that you are doing? And I'm coming to you and I'm talking to you because I've been where you are. I know what it's like to be young. I'm trying to find out who you are, your identity. I remember growing up, I felt like two distinct people. I was one person at school and church, and I was another person at home. It was like living two identities. One person was, hey, how are you? How you doing? The other person was ready to do anything and everything, but didn't know how to balance the two. I felt like I was a superhero. I felt like I was Spider-Man or Superman. You know, they have a dual identity. By the day, they're Clark Kent or Peter Parker, and at night, they're something else. It's a struggle, I know, for us to figure out who we are and why we're here and what God has put in our lives and what we're supposed to be doing with ourselves. I know it is. Some of you may not have fathers. Some of your mothers may not be the type of mother you may think they should be. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God sent Jesus to die on the cross, not only just to save your sins, but to give you the opportunity to become as great as you believe you can. It's interesting. 2 months ago, a friend of mine invited me out to a juvenile hall. I had never been before. And I had the opportunity to sit with a group of about 12 young men that were in juvenile hall. They were the same ages as you all are here today, from 8 years old to 18. And they were kids. We went around and we were all making poetry and everybody was making poems and laughing. But then after the laughing died down, we started talking, well, what are you in here for? How long do you have to serve? And some of these kids, 13 and 14 years old, are on track to serve life sentences for a decision they made at your age. And there's no going back. Once they're in the system, it's over. It's so hard to get a young person, especially a young male, out of the system. Why do I say this? It's just as you're able to make decisions about what you want to wear in the morning and what certain clothes you want to put on, you need to realize that the devil wants you to make the wrong decisions now. If the devil can get you off track now, he won't have to worry about when you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. Everybody here, every young person here wants to be happy, wants to have a nice home, wants to have a nice car, wants to have money. Do you all want to have all these things? If these are the things that you want, you must realize you have to start thinking today about the choices you're making. Discipline. As much as you hate when your parents get on you and cleaning your room and vacuuming and ironing and taking out the trash, how many of you all hate doing those things? Let's be real. Yes, two hands. But you must realize something. I didn't like it either. But one thing I learned after I was old enough to realize it, and you may not realize this for another few years, but the discipline that my parents put me through has helped me get to where I am today. Learning how to be responsible and to take care of yourself and not rely on others is going to help you achieve the goals and the dreams that you have. If you're relying on your brother, your sister, your mom, or your cousin, or your father to do things for you, it's not going to happen. They want you to do your chores so you learn discipline. You learn the value of hard work. Everybody, you know, looks at Diddy or Kanye West and says, oh, they're so popular, they made it just like that. No, they didn't. Anyone who ever becomes great in their field is because they have been disciplined. They have worked hard at it. There's no such thing as overnight celebrity. There's no such thing as overnight success. Anyone who becomes successful overnight has been working well before you even knew that they existed. I say these things to you so that you begin to value hard work. Even though you don't want to do it, do your chores. Think about this. If you got home, did what needed to be done, and then had your time to do what you need to do, think about how many arguments that would cut out. If you just got home and said, okay, all right, I'm going to do it and get it done with, then your mother and your dad can't say nothing to you. Samson, why didn't you take out the trash? Well, Mama, the trash. Did you look at the trash bin? It's already taken out. Do you get what I'm saying? These small things, as trivial as we may think they are, actually are the building blocks to your success. And you must realize that the devil right now wants you to make choices that will get you off of God's plan for your life. Romans 12, 1 through 3 talks about that we need to make ourselves a sacrifice so that we can have the perfect will of God. Every one of us, God has a plan for it. Our life. The decisions we make determine if we're able to hit and achieve his ultimate will for our life. Right now, the devil wants you to make choices. Right now. The music that we listen to, one of the key things, and parents, I have to say this, I'm not going to get into the discussion because I don't know what's been happening in the home, but I need to say this. One of the key things that you as a young person must understand, the first song that was played was Unpredictable by Jamie Foxx. You know, girl, let's do something you never done before. Tonight we're getting unpredictable. The song is about sex and how tonight we're going to do something that is unpredictable. Well, the reality is, if right now you begin to make choices about sex without talking to your parents and your pastor, you can affect the rest of your life right now. And if you're able to understand the music, the lyrics in the music, then I feel like it's okay for me right now to talk about something that usually is never talked about in the church. Is that okay, Pastor? I'm not going to go too deep, but I just, okay. No, but you got to understand that we all know what we have. And as a young person trying to figure out who you are and then figure out where sex fits in all that, it's crazy. As a young man, it's like all of a sudden, you know, just like you, like, you know, the testosterone hits and you're like Frankenstein. You don't know what to do. But you must realize that before you make the choice to do something that could affect the rest of your life, you have people in place who can talk to you through this. You're not out there alone. I know growing up, I felt like I was the only one trying to figure out what to do and how to. I didn't know anything about anything. And I felt like it was just me. But I began to realize that my brothers were struggling. And my cousins the same age were struggling. But I realized that at the moment, before I could have done something that could have completely altered where I am today. I say this to say, young women, don't use your body to get love. And don't exchange what God has given you for affection. The world tells you you need a young boy to like you in order for you to feel good. That is not true. If you love yourself and you love God, he will bring to you the right young boy who will know how to handle what God has given you. If you can't find it, I encourage you to stop looking and let God do the looking for you. If the young boy you are dealing with does not respect you, kick him to the curb because he's not worth your time. Young men, I know we all like to play with our toys. I know we like to play PlayStation, and we like to, when growing up, we used to have fire trucks and all this stuff. We are conditioned to play with toys. I must tell you, your sisters, the women that come in your life, they are not toys. I know in our community we put all this thing on, oh, you know, that's a pimp. He's a pimp right there. He's a player. Having multiple women is nothing to aspire to. It is not in the word. It is not biblical. And the devil wants you to get tricked into thinking you need to be a player and a pimp so he can get you completely off course, so he can mess up your mind, so he can mess up your heart. Women are not toys. They are people with real emotions, real hearts. And we must, as young men, recognize this. If you respect your mother on this level, whatever you wouldn't do to your mother, you should not do to another young lady. It's the truth. I know all these songs, you know, love to label our women as gold diggers and Miss New Booty and all of these derogatory terms. But you must recognize that that person you're calling a gold digger or that person you're naming Miss New Booty has the ability and one day will create life and will be a mother. Would you call your mother these things? So we should not be put in a position where it's okay to call any woman those names. I say this to say, going back to the original thing, what do you aspire to be? The choices that you make now can affect where you are going. I talk about the music. I talk about sex because these are two critical issues. And the issue of sexuality, and are you on this side of the fence or that side of the fence? Or are you lesbian? Are you gay? Are you straight? This issue, even at a young age, I have to talk about it, Pastor. Even at a young age, is an issue that is plaguing our community, especially in the church. Because the church is almost like you can come and you can hide. And you can go home and do what you know you shouldn't. But if there's no one there to help you walk through it, there are plenty of people on the outside who are going to try and tell you what's okay. Well, it's okay if you're not sure about if you like boys or girls. That's okay. If there is confusion in your mind about where your preference is, what God has you do, if there's confusion there, you need to come and talk to somebody. Your pastor is here. If you can't talk to your parents, there are people in this church who you can come and talk to who can help guide you through the process. What the devil wants you to do is to feel like you're alone and try and figure out these critical issues on your own. While nobody is looking, while the parents are asleep, while the sun is set on Sabbath, while you're by yourself, that's when the devil wants to have you make decisions that will alter your life. I'm not trying to get too deep, but I feel like it's so, we don't get the truth. Growing up, I didn't get the truth. I came to church every Sabbath. You know, and I'm 28 years old. I've missed maybe 5 Sabbaths in my whole life. And I rarely get people telling me the truth. Even at my age, at being 28, if you don't get a handle on where you're going, if you don't get a handle on sex and on women, if you don't get a handle on these things, they will destroy your very life. And all I can do is put it that plain. God has given us a roadmap. He's given us Jesus. He's given us the opportunity because as Christians, we have hope. Can you imagine if you had to live in this world without Jesus? Can you imagine if all you saw in front of you was all there ever was going to be? But because we believe in Jesus, how many of you believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in Jesus? But because we believe in Jesus, we have something that they don't have, which is hope. Hope that the issues that we struggle with, he has the answer. Hope that even though we're not sure how we're going to achieve our dreams, if we put ourselves in his hands, he will take us where he wants us to go. Hope that even though our family situation isn't great, daddy may not be here, mama may not be there, even though we may come home and we will cry before we'll laugh, even though this may be our reality, because we have Jesus, we have hope. That even though this is the reality, that does not mean it will be my destiny. You must realize that your situation right now is not all there is to life. It will get better. It will get better. I know that there's a high premium put on being popular. How many people like to be popular? I have something to say about the popular kids. Growing up, I was not the popular kid. I have to tell you. I wore hand-me-down clothes. I wore secondhand clothes. I spoke a little more properly as others at my school. I was ostracized. They said, "Oh, you what you trying to be white for? Huh? You're not black. What you trying to be white for? Why you talk like that? Why do you dress like that?" And something I've begun to learn, and as a young kid, who doesn't want to be popular? Who doesn't want to be accepted by the cool kids? But I tell you this, if you are having an issue with popularity, remember this, and it took me a little while to get it, that usually those people who are the popular ones at school are usually the ones that usually never become the people that you end up becoming. It's the truth. And here's why. Because the popular kids, they peak right there in high school. They get everything they want in life. They have the girlfriend, they're on the football team, they're cool, everybody likes them. And because of that, that's usually where their life stops. But those who are on the outside, who are ostracized, who are the ugly ducklings, we realize that there is something greater in life. And it creates this desire for us to keep moving forward. So even if you feel like you're the reject, do not compromise your beliefs in order to be accepted. Because in just a few years, you're going to be able to look back while you have your bank account, while you're on the movie set, while you're directing a movie, while you're dancing and doing all these things, and said, if this is my payment for not being cool, I wish someone would have told me earlier. Don't worry about being popular. Popularity comes and goes. You all see the tabloids. At one point in time, you know, Whitney Houston was popular. Not today. We need to pray for her. Yes, she's on the drugs. We need to pray for her. But my point is, popularity comes and goes. So I encourage you not to chase popularity. And the Bible says that the stone that was rejected became the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the main stone that holds two pieces of a wall together. So even though people at school may be rejecting you, recognize that in their rejection, there is acceptance from God. They might reject you, but God accepts you just the way you are. And you must realize this process of identity and figuring out who you are and where you're going to go and what you should do, it takes patience. It takes patience. And there are going to be some moments that are frustrating. As you're growing older and you're trying to figure out what to do and who you are and what you like and your favorite colors and all these different things, it's frustrating. Look, I'm 28 years old and it's still frustrating to me. I'm still trying to figure out where I fit in the world. But the one thing that I can go back to is that because I know Jesus, because I know God, I have the ability to make it through even when I may not understand all that God does. Earlier, I mentioned, you know, all these famous people I've had the opportunity to meet and all this stuff. And I say that to say the only reason and the only way that I've been put in these circles is because of my dedication to God. Every job that I have taken, from working with Will Smith to working for Tracy Evans and Babyface to working for MGM to working now for Sony, every job I take, before I take the job, in the interview, I let them know where my commitment with God is. If you need me to accept this job and work on the Sabbath, I can't do it. Give him the praise. I say that because a lot of us think that in order to achieve our goals, we're going to have to compromise our Christianity at some point. I encourage you to never compromise. In not compromising, don't get me wrong, there have been moments that have been, you know, that have I've even had to call Pastor Dawson and say, well, Pastor, what would I do in this situation? I'll never forget. It really spoke to me. I was in Baton Rouge. How many people have seen this show, College Hill, on BET? Yes. Well, when I was working for Tracy Edmonds, I produced the pilot, which was the first episode of College Hill. I can't speak to what it's become now. It's a whole other thing. But when we first started out, it was going for a little something different. Anyway, we were on the set in Baton Rouge. And that night, we were going to go out, and they were going to shoot with some of the college kids. We had the video cameras. And it happened to be a Friday night. And there weren't enough people on the crew. So they really needed me to help go out with them. So I'm in Louisiana. This is before the flood. This is a few years ago. But it's a Friday night. But I'm like, man, I mean, they're going to go out, and this is important for the show, and this is my job, and they're going to get some good footage, and they really need me. But then it's the Sabbath, and what does God require of me? I'll never forget, I called Pastor Dawson. I said, Pastor Dawson, you know, I mean, this is a situation. What should I do? And the brilliant thing about what Pastor Dawson did, he didn't tell me what to do. He directed me back to the Word and empowered me to make the decision. See, I'm not up here telling you not to listen to the music, not to watch the TV show. You are intelligent enough to recognize what God's Word says and to make the decision that He leads you to. After having this conversation with Pastor, I had to go to Tracy Edmonds and say, you know, I can't do the shoot tonight. It's my Sabbath, and the sun is setting, and I can't do it. Do you realize? They said, Devon, we totally understand. We appreciate you taking a stand. As a matter of fact, can we have a word of prayer? The director of the show said, you know, Devon, I just really been going through it. Can we pray? He and I went to the room, and we started praying, and he just started crying and just said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. People, you must realize that we have the light. What you have been given is actually your competitive advantage. So many people say that being with Christ is being uncool. If anything, being with Christ has been the coolest thing that I could have ever done. Because I would not be where I am today had it not been for my commitment to Him. And when you tell people that you stand for something in entertainment, there are thousands of people, millions of people who want to get into entertainment. And all of those people, I apologize for going so long, all of those people are willing to do anything to get in. They're willing to do anything to be put into a movie. They're willing to do anything to get into a video. They're willing to do anything to just cut a song or be in the studio. But those who stand for something and don't compromise are the ones that people are like, well, who are you? And what are you about? And who do you serve? There have been more opportunities for witnessing by not compromising than compromising. I only say this to you, and I'm not going to go any longer. In saying that, standing for Christ, really believing God and letting Him guide your life is the absolute 100% way that you will become successful. The devil is going to try and tempt you, whether it be a car, whether it be a girl, whether it be a guy, whether it be a house, whether it be fame. The devil's going to try and give you all these things to say, hey, you don't need to do it God's way. Do it my way. The devil is only going to lead you to destruction. The devil does not have the ability to create. All he can do is destroy. That's it. So even when you see these things and they're pleasing to the eye and it's like, oh, man, I would love to have a car like that. Oh, man, I would love to have, you know, some wheels like that and some rims and sitting on chrome like that. I would love to do those things. If God is not leading you in that direction, I encourage you not to go. At this age, I know it's going to be hard. And recognize this, that even if you leave tonight and you mess up a little bit, it's okay. Get back up and get in line. Keep getting back up. Don't let the devil think that you've gone so far away from God that you can never come home. The prodigal son left home with all of his money that his father had given him. He went out, he spent it, he had a good time, but he recognized while he was out in the world, there was no better place for him than his father's house. And when he came home, his father accepted him with open arms. God is here. Jesus is here to accept you with open arms. It's not easy. It's hard. I know it's hard. But I encourage you to really begin to think about what God wants you to do, to really begin to figure out where God fits in your life, and to really do your best to not let the music and the friends and the ideas of what it would be like to party to get you out of your destiny. You are great. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are powerful. You are talented. It's amazing that in this room right now, there are gifts that the world is waiting for. And if we right now would make a commitment to God to do it his way, you would be surprised at what he will do. Have I said too much? Have I stepped on some toes? I'm sorry. I really didn't intend to do that. But I just felt like, you know, look, we're family. And with any of you all, hey, you need to talk, I'm here. Whatever you need to do, I'm here. Because we all need to make it. I'm tired of the world telling our kids what the world wants them to know. We got to start telling the kids the truth. As hard as it may be. Because what is said now, believe it or not, plants a seed. And there were some seeds that were planted when I was young that didn't grow until 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later. But at least I was there and the seed was planted. Can we stand for a moment? And let's join hands for a minute, please.